We're going to take a look at the life of Elijah. What do you think about that? And so the first mention of Elijah is in 1 Kings chapter number 17. So if you're there, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 1. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilgal, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in Israel. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of just reading the Bible, of listening to it read. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that you have given and gifted the church. The Bible says pastors, and Lord, but you've gifted all of us something that's wonderful and sweet, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit in every born-again believer, to have the Holy Spirit to help us as we listen to the preaching of the Bible, to help us as we listen to it read, to speak to us in a unique and personal way. And so, Lord, we're going to go down through the scriptures, and we're going to teach some Bible principles. But Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd be very active and give to each person tonight what they need to hear from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've kind of come to the end of a couple of different studies, and I knew that I'd be taking a couple trips, and so I didn't want to get into any series until I got back. But the more I prayed about it, and sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I call other preachers and I'll say, what have you been teaching on? What have you covered lately? What series have you done? What book have you preached through? Sometimes, you know, just to get a sense of maybe the way God used something in their lives. But having done all of those things, God just kept bringing me back to the life of Elijah. And so we want to do some preaching and teaching through Elijah's life. Elijah is just one of my spiritual heroes. And by the way, folks, it's okay to have spiritual heroes. We understand that we ought to ultimately always keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We also understand that when we choose an earthly hero, that they're going to have faults and failures. And so be careful that you don't put people on such a high pedestal that if you ever see something that doesn't quite add up in their lives, that you're disappointed and disillusioned. I'm sorry, folks, but that's not their fault. That's your fault. You don't treat men as if they're God, okay? And so I do have heroes, and I've had men that have greatly influenced me and been a help to me and a source of wisdom and counsel to me. But ultimately, folks, we want to keep our hearts and our eyes on the Bible and on the Lord Jesus Christ. But Elijah certainly is hero worthy, I think, for all of us. I know he was a prophet, and I'm going to say some things about that aspect of his life. But, you know, I also want to not forget, and by the way, I'm going to mention this one of the points tonight, that he was human too. And, you know, folks, we can learn from our Bible heroes and how they go through trials and how they go through tribulations and how they overcome setbacks and how they, watch this, how they even mess up, fail, and sin. But you know what? Even in that, there's hope. I think somewhere in my notes, I say something along this lines that, you know what? God has to use imperfect people. He chooses to use imperfect people. You know why he chooses to use imperfect people? Because that's all he has to choose from. And so, you know, aren't you glad that God can use us despite us and despite our shortcomings and despite our failures? And, oh, preacher, you don't know what my life's been like up to this point. And I don't think God could ever use me. Well, maybe all of that was to help prepare you for a way God can use you and is going to use you. Don't let the devil sit on your shoulder and discourage you when it comes to your past and your failures. Get them under the blood. Get them right before the Lord. And you know what? Just claim that new measure of grace for a new day. And turn the page and let the Lord write a new chapter of your life. How about that? Now, I want to say several things about Elijah. There's mystery concerning Elijah. You know, I just went back before the service started and I looked in Jeremiah chapter 1 and I read some of the background that's given us concerning Jeremiah. And we're told who Jeremiah's dad was. We're told that Jeremiah's dad was a priest in Israel. And so we get a sense of where he comes from. You don't get any of this about Elijah. It's very unusual for a man to be introduced in the Old Testament and not to be connected to his human father, and at least us know a little bit about where he's at. This is the information, folks. You read it along with me. Elijah the Tishbite. And that simply means that he came from a town by the name of Tishba, and that town is in Gilgad. And that's it. That's it. And all of a sudden, this man, with that short introduction, comes before King Ahab and makes this announcement. Think about this. Now, folks, we didn't hear about, you know, John the Baptist. Come on. And we have a whole story about how his mom and dad couldn't have children, and then he was miraculously born, and how God intervened there. I mean, think of how much background was. And all of a sudden, we just have this, I'm just going to say it, this nobody from nowhere that all of a sudden just shows up on the scene, walks up to the king, and just makes an announcement. But folks, there are some things we're going to learn about him, because as you go through and study all that the Bible says about his life, we are given some more information, but there's not just a whole lot of background. No pedigree is given, just the location of his hometown. By the way, no record of his upbringing, not one story of his childhood. There's no, hey, Jeremiah, we get to read about how God spoke to him and called him to be a prophet. There's no record of the call of Elijah. And so think about that. He seems to appear out of nowhere and appears in the presence of King Ahab and makes this astonishing announcement. And again, I don't know, since he's not mentioned up to this point in Ahab's reign, I don't know if Ahab's ever met him before. Can you imagine being the king of Israel and having somebody just show up at your doorstep or show up at the palace and ask for an opportunity to speak to the king, and then walk in and make this announcement, turn around, walk out. And I'm sure Ahab's first reaction was, who's that? Who was that? You know, and maybe didn't take it very seriously because he didn't know who this man was. But let me tell you something, God knew who he was. Right. By the way, folks, we know some things about him. He did have parents. And we know this, he at one time was a child, and there are childhood stories. We just don't have any of them. And at one time, he was called by God to be a prophet. I'll mention that in a minute. But three different times, the Bible uses the term prophet in talking about. So God said he was a prophet. It wasn't him saying it. God said he was a prophet. And seven different times, he's called a man of God. And so, but you know what? Out of the shadows, out of the middle of nowhere, with no background, God had quietly been preparing the next great prophet of Israel. And I don't know about you, but at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if I'm a Sunday school teacher, I just got a little excited. If I'm working in the, by the way, we've got our Wednesday Bible club going on, and if I'm working with children, if I'm a Christian school teacher or a volunteer, I'm excited. Listen, you know what? God will call men of God from the most unlikely places. And while the devil seems like he's taken over the world and doing all that he's doing, you know, God behind the scenes is preparing his next generation of preachers, next generation of men. And sometimes people are going to look up and all of a sudden hear a voice and say, who is that and where did he come from? You know, and I think I'm getting ahead of my notes, but I'm excited about preaching about Elijah. But I think it was R.G. Lee that said something to the effect, if you listen to Payday Someday, he said, when the devil looked at Ahab and said, arise, God looked at Elijah and said, arise. And folks, listen to me. I know the devil's got his puppets and his ministers. Come on, there's a lot of wickedness going on in our country. But you know what? As the devil is preparing that spirit of Antichrist and those Antichrists, don't you think for one minute that God isn't calling his preachers and his and his teachers and prophets for the next generation. So Elijah, kind of shrouded in mystery there, you know, he steps out of obscurity. And when God needed him, he was ready. He was ready to go. So number one, Elijah was a Tishbite, and that's about all we know. Number two, Elijah was a man who was not fundamentally different than any man here. Now, I want you to mark your place in 1 Kings, but we're going to go to the book of James in the New Testament, and we're going to read something about Elijah in the book of James that gives us a really interesting and I think a very encouraging piece of information about this great prophet. And folks, come on. I mean, of all the prophets of Israel, I don't know who the greatest. We'll figure that out. God's got it all figured out. Maybe somebody we've never even heard of before. But we'll let God decide all that at the judgment seat. But, you know, it would be hard to argue against Elijah. And yet James chapter number 5, we read in the verse number 17 and verse 18 about Elias, and that is referring to Elijah, the Elijah of the Old Testament. Notice what it says. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, leave your Bible there for a minute because we're going to go on and finish those two verses in a minute. But I don't know about you, but that helps this preacher. Now, think about this, folks. Elijah was a man who was not fundamentally different than any man here. And that's true of any great hero that you can point to in the Bible. You know what? They were human. They were just men. They were subject to like passions as we are. Now, think about that. Of like passions. That means they were similarly affected. They were similarly affected. So things that affect you affected him. Things that cause you sometimes to get mad probably caused him to get mad sometimes. Things that caused you frustration probably caused him frustration. Now think about this. It's good for us to hear once in a while, okay? You know what that means about Elijah? Sometimes he got discouraged. And by the way, we're going to read a whole story where we see this. We're going to get a front row seat to see him going through not, I don't think just discouragement. He went through a time of depression that drove him to thoughts of suicide. And that's something people don't talk about much, you know. You know, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? They were thinking about suicide. You haven't? Oh, and that thought's never, the devil's never one time introduced that thought into your mind one time. Well, you think, well, what is wrong with me? Same thing's wrong with Elijah. Same thing wrong with Moses. Same thing wrong with Abraham. Same thing wrong with the 12 apostles. You know what? They were human. They were just human. Now think about that. So that means sometimes he got discouraged. Sometimes he got angry. He may have got angry at things he should have got angry about. He may have got angry at things he shouldn't have got angry about. He dealt with depression. I already mentioned that. He had to struggle against fear. You know, fear, folks, is a powerful thing in some people's lives. It just seems like it has more of a stranglehold on some folks than others. And there's just this, you know, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Well, if you've never had to fight against that, and that's never been a battle in your life, you don't really understand that verse. But the people in this room that have understand how that you can be ensnared by that. You ever seen an animal caught in a snare? They're trying to get away and they can't. I mean, I've talked to a lot of Christians in my life, folks, and you know, I don't go into the spooky a whole lot, but folks, there's an invisible creation and a visible creation. The Bible teaches us that. And you know what? You talk to anybody in the ministry. I ask every once in a while, you know, who never dreams? You know, you never dream. And there's always a few people that raise their hand. How many dream some of the time, but not every night? And that's the majority of people. How many of you dream every night of your life? And I'm that guy. And, you know, when I see the hands go up about I never dream, I just look at you with envy and jealousy. And one night of my life, that would be so. And I don't mean I just dream. I mean, I dream plots, subplots, characters. I mean, there are crazy things going on, people from different times of my life, people in different locations that don't make sense. And yet my mind is trying to make sense of all of this. And, it's just like, ah. But I said all that to office. Also say this.
Listen, I've also woke up in the middle of the night with some dreams that I believe the devil was absolutely 100% in charge of what was happening. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and felt the presence of evil to the extent of like, I mean, you know, and this thing, come on, we don't talk about this stuff much. Sometimes you don't think that ever happened to Elijah? A man being prepared by God to stand up against a wicked king, to call down fire from heaven, bring revival to Israel. You don't think that the devil didn't go after him in a way maybe that he wouldn't go after the rest of us? I'm just saying this, folks. You know, sometimes we think, well, here's the reasons, preacher, I can't be used of God because I'm this, because I'm ensnared by fear, or I fight depression. Do you know that, folks, listen to me. Do you know Charles Haddon Spurgeon would only preach for 6 to 9 months at a time and take the balance of the year off and fought depression oftentimes? And yet we will read his things and quote him, and probably one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the face. I'm just saying this, okay? Listen, we're all human. We're all human. Guess what? God can still use humans. Okay, yeah, preacher. Yeah, okay, loneliness. You didn't think he faced loneliness? I mean, when God asked him, what are you doing here? You know, after chapter 19, he just went up there and called down fire from heaven and all this. Next thing you know, he's laying by a creek asking God to kill him. And God said, well, why are you here? Because I'm the only one left. Now, was that true? You know, folks, the devil will convince you of a lot of things that isn't true, but you know what? He's got you believing it's true. You say, well, preacher, it wasn't true. It was true to Elijah. He believed it. He believed it. That's why he was sitting there, God, just take me too. I'm the only one left. Might as well get rid of me also. And he's like, hey, there's 7,000 men that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. You're not by yourself. And I guess I want to just, I'm purposely taking some time on this because that little phrase got a hold of me, and I just want to say thank God that God uses flawed people. Thank God that, you know what, folks, listen, it's not, and I don't want you young people to go out of here and say, oh, so it doesn't matter what I do. I mean, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, you know, but the thing about it is God can take some failures in your life and some shortcomings in your life and some sin in your life. And he, if you'll let him, he could spend the rest of your life beating you over the head with it and telling you, you can't be this, and you can't be that, and you can't be this, and you can't be that. And the devil's a liar. He's a liar. The Bible says, Jesus said he's a liar and the father of all lies. So anyway, he's just like us. He's just like us. He's frustrated at times. I'm sure at times he was pessimistic. By the way, he lived in a human body, so I know this. He got tired sometimes. He woke up sore sometimes. He dealt with sickness. You know, you think Abraham never had the flu? Moses was never sick, never had a cold, okay? I mean, what I'm saying is sometimes, you know, we almost create these men as gods. Folks, God's had to use people just like us. And they had to, with God's help, learn how to get through these things. Elijah sinned. You know why? Because for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The Bible says if you say you don't have sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. But the Bible says, I think I'll believe the Bible rather than someone who's going to tell me they've never sinned, all right? He sinned. He failed. Now, just because the stories that God chose to give us about Elijah, by the way, God did share some things. We're going to look at it. We go through the life of Elijah. I'm going to tell you, I think God picked this. I argue back with the Lord, and I never win that argument. I don't even know why I bother. But I'm like, Lord, I'm not teaching a bunch of preachers and Elijah, the life of Elijah. And then he took me to James chapter 5, and he said, but he was a man of like passions. He's like everybody sitting in that pew. And you know what? If they look at his life and say, God used him to do this, I just wonder what God could use me to do. And it's worth our time to look at the life of Elijah, okay? Now, that doesn't mean he only experienced those passions. He was, I'm sure, other times happy and joyful. And we see where he's courageous, and there's times he's optimistic, and he's very victorious in his Christian life. You know, I don't know about you, but it sounds like all of us. Good days, bad days, mountaintops, valleys. prayers answered, laying by a creek, wanting to know if we want to live another day or not. I think it just kind of sounds like the human race to me. And yet, folks, God used this man to accomplish great things. And so I hope that's an encouragement. Elijah was a man who was not fundamentally different than any other man, woman, or child here. God chooses to use flawed men because that is all he has to choose from. It is, listen, folks, it is not our imperfections that prevent us from being used of God. It is not our imperfections that prevent us from being used of God. It's what we do with those imperfect moments that qualify us to be used by God. What are we going to do with those things? We're going to see in a minute here, Elijah, man, not fundamentally different than me or you. Now, what set him apart? What made him different, preacher? Now, I'm going to get to his call in a minute, but let's just keep talking about all of us for a while, okay? Because we'll talk about the preacher aspect in a minute. But here's what made him very unique, folks. In a time where very few people were worshiping God. Most of Israel was caught up into false worship. And those that weren't given over to false worship, very few had a personal relationship with God. Let me say this. Elijah was a man who communicated with God. He communicated with God. Hey, preacher, can I communicate with God? God wants to communicate with each and every one of us. God wants to communicate with each and every one of us. He created man. One of the purposes for him creating man was so that he could go down to the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day and walk in fellowship. He loves to have a personal relationship with his children. If you're saved here tonight, he wants to have a personal relationship with you. If you're not saved here tonight, he wants to save you so that you can have a personal relationship with him. So he communicated with God. All right, kids, you can get this too. Don't let your minds wander. You can get this, all right? I mean, what's that mean? That's something that you have to be a prophet to do. That's something you got to be a preacher to. No, that's something available to anybody in this room. All these children out here in our Bible club, God wants to communicate each and every day in a very personal way with each and every one of them. Now, let me start with prayer since we're still in James. I hope James chapter 5 verse 17. So he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And what's it say? He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, folks, we're going to see this, because I'm going to go back in just a minute to our text. But let's just start with the subject of prayer. What does it mean to communicate with God? What does it mean to have a personal relationship with God? Well, folks, what does it mean for you to have a personal relationship with anybody? Right. You know what it involves? Communication. Okay, you can stand across the room and stare at each other all you want to, but you're not going to know any more about each other until you can walk up and talk to each other, you know. Yes. Hey, my name is, what's your name? And, you know, and then what is communication? What is a conversation about? Come on, this is simple, but this is the way God communicates with us today. You know what? Prayer allows us to speak to the Lord. And reading the Bible, and we'll talk a little bit more than just that, but this is the Word of God, by the way. Let's start with this. This is the Word of God. When we read the Bible, it's God's opportunity to communicate with us. Of course, we understand, as I prayed in my introductory prayer, thanking the Lord for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in each side of one of us. Because as we read the Bible and as we listen to the Bible preached, isn't it amazing? Folks, how many times have you sit in Bliss Oak Baptist Church and I'm preaching on the life of Elijah. And yet one thing I said that has nothing to do really with anything going on in your life. One little statement I made and God gave you the answer to something, or God gave you a solution to something that you were struggling with, or okay, I get this now, Lord, and you can see something in a new perspective. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit of God wants to communicate with us, each and every one of us? And so, but let's start with prayer. He prayed to God. The Bible says he prayed that for it not to rain. We know some of the prayers he prayed. He prayed that for it not to rain. You know what? It didn't. He prayed for it to rain, and it did. He prayed for fire to fall from heaven on top of Mount Carmel and consume his offering unto the Lord. And you know what? God answered that prayer. We seen pray privately. We seen pray publicly. Matter of fact, that prayer for it to rain. Can we go back to 1 Kings now, chapter 17? Let me have you look real quick at a verse there in chapter 17. Then I'm going to have you sneak over to chapter 18. Elijah's rich. Oh, my goodness sakes. I said, okay, here's the number of lessons and here's the number of sermons I'll do on this. And the whole time there's this voice inside of me saying, you're never going to get through all of these in this amount of time. It's kind of like when the preacher gets up, worst thing you hear him say, now folks, we're not going to be here very long tonight. I got a pretty short message. And it's like my wife says, you jinxed it. Every time you say that, you mess up. But notice this. All right, let's just look at verse number one. Elijah the Tishbite. And I want to explain this because I don't want you to think he was arrogant or presumptuous. He was just sharing with this king what God had told him. But notice the wording here. Okay, as the Lord, he said, okay, so Elijah, what's he say to Ahab? He said unto Ahab, middle of the verse, verse 1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. As sure as the God of Israel is alive, that's how sure what I'm about to say is going to happen. Okay, before whom I stand. Well, there you go. We talked about communicating. We talked about being in the presence of the Lord. He's praying to the Lord. The Lord's speaking to him. So what did he say? There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to, what's the next two words?
My word.
My word. You say, well, preacher, that came across kind of arrogant. He's just saying what God said. You know what? God knew that he wanted to teach on prayer in James chapter number 5 and use Elijah as an example. So he said, listen, I'm not going to let it rain for 3 years, but this house is going to work. I'll cut it off when you pray for me to cut it off, and I'll turn it back on when you pray that it gets turned back on. By the way, I'll tell you when to pray both prayers.
Yes, sir.
All right, so Elijah hadn't gone rogue here, okay? He's not up there saying, let me tell you something. I can turn it on and I can turn it off. He said, no, God just simply said this, that he said that it's not going, I prayed before I came here, and it's not going to rain until God tells me to pray and ask for rain again. And you know when that happened. Let's take a look at it. This is just kind of, again, we're going to study this chapter. Boy, I can't wait to get into this chapter. About that cloud, come on. That cloud about the size of a man's hand. Think about that. But 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 42. Elijah's just defeated the false prophets on Mount Carmel. I'm not talking about him being a man of prayer. So let's just sneak ahead and take a quick peek. So Ahab being up, went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And folks, I could go through the Bible. I can show you a lot of different ways that people were praying, but I want to say this. Overall, the majority of the Bible teaches us that we ought to be on our knees before the Lord. You know, a man that refuses to kneel and pray, I didn't say you can't. We got some of our older folks. If you kneel, you're going to be wherever you kneel next Thursday, okay? We'll find you there Saturday. But listen, if it's health reasons, if the honest truth is your health reasons are really just masking your pride, then don't be surprised if you don't get answer to God. Listen, you don't go into God's presence demanding anything. You better remember who he is and who you are when you pray. Okay? And here's a man, look at this. He knew who was in charge. That's why I can look back at verse numbers 1 in chapter 17 and say, this didn't come from a proud heart. See what he did there? And it says that, verse 43, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time. He said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. I mean, he just got on his knees and prayed 7 prayers there. But you know what? I don't think this is the first time he's been on his knees before the Lord. You know, sometimes, folks, we want an answer to the big prayer. Or we want the emergency prayer. Okay, we haven't prayed in 3 months, but something tragic happens. All of a sudden, God's supposed to put you at the front of the line. Come on now. We treat him with disrespect as if we don't need him until we need him. I don't think this is the first time he's been praying. He was a man of prayer. He prayed earnestly, the Bible said. He was a man. What are we talking about here? I'm talking about this. You're a man of like passion. He's a man of like passion like we are. If Elijah can pray, you can pray.
Yep.
If God will answer Elijah's prayer, he'll answer your prayer. Okay? I mean, he's a man that built communication with the Lord. Now, you talked about this. Well, preacher, what do you mean when you said, you know, he didn't use this whole idea of, okay, I'm imperfect and I'm human and everybody messes up, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to live it. No, no. The Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not, he will not hear us. So how do I know that even though he was a sinner and even though he messed up, how do I know how he handled those situations? Because he kept a clear path to the Lord. And folks, if you cover your sin, the Bible says you won't prosper. But if you confess and forsake it, you know, the Lord's blessings will come. And so, you know, it's not that, listen, we are imperfect and we do sin and we do fall short and we do sometimes get angry. But you know what? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the only difference between the Christian that can't get through to God and the Christian that can't a lot of times is the fact that this person is confessed up. And this person, come on, everybody goes like this when I say 1 John 1:9, and I always, not always, but sometimes I'll ask, well, when's the last time you've done it? I mean, in the last 24 hours, have you confessed any sins to the Lord? Is it because you haven't sinned in the last 24 hours? Why can't we just, when we do wrong, be smitten by the Spirit of God and be convicted by that and humble our hearts and drop our head, say, Lord, I shouldn't have thought that or I shouldn't have said that. I am so sorry, Lord. You know, make it right with God. Make it as much as you can right with people. Keep your heart and your mind clean before the Lord and clean before others. And folks, what I'm saying is this. You can be human and still have a close relationship with God. You can be imperfect and still have a close relationship with God. You can be a sinner. You know why I know that? Because we all are. And still have a close, listen, God is not expecting perfection, but he is very interested in our reaction to our imperfections. Okay? And I think, you know, sometimes people look at, you know, one person in the Bible that God brought judgment on, and then a lot of times the person that got brought up, well, good night. Why did God bring judgment on that person? I think Brother Sam Davison mentioned this. And he brought up the illustration of David. And David, folks, did things that makes what some of these guys in the Bible look like nothing. Why is it that God continued to bless him and showed mercy and showed grace? And yeah, there were consequences. Don't think there's not going to be consequences, folks. But, you know, but hey, get to Psalms 51. Read that psalm that he penned, that psalm of confession. And so this is why, even though Elijah was a man of like passions and he did have these shortcomings and failures and did sin and did sometimes do all of the things that we have done and shouldn't have done, he maintained a close relationship with the Lord, because the Bible said it's before the Lord. He stood before the Lord before whom I stand. And so you don't stand in the presence of the Lord very long. You don't stand in the presence of the Lord very long without getting things right before him. Because you get in the presence of the holiness of God, and it's going to shine a bright light on our sinfulness. That's why if you go through any place in the Bible where you see a man have an encounter with the presence or the likeness of God, that man is on his face usually saying, woe is me. Okay? So I sometimes see people that just don't think their sin is very bad. And they just don't confess it. They don't treat it like sin. You know what I say? You're not spending any time with the Lord. Come on, you're not spending any time in his presence. Because if you spend much time in his presence, your sin would seem exceedingly sinful. Okay? And so he had this communication. I talked about prayer. What about the fact that he listened to the Lord? 1 Kings 17, let's go back and read those. These first opening verses have so much. We're not even getting to the ravens feeding him today, okay? I don't think we'll even get that far. Okay, so he prayed, but look at verse number 2. What's it say? And the word of the Lord came unto him. Amen. So he was communicating with God, and God was communicating with with him. And again, folks, I know things are a little bit different. We have the scriptures, we got God's word, and God certainly uses that to communicate. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can't even discern what this is. I mean, think about that. You know, the carnal cannot ascertain, cannot understand that which is spiritual. So we need the help of the Holy Spirit to properly divide the Bible, understand the Bible, and have God communicate to us from the Word of God. Remember, folks, wisdom is the goal. Okay? Teachers, let me remind you this. We haven't taught this to our teachers and had a teachers' meeting. Probably need to do some of this again. But, you know, anybody that teaches on any level, you know, there's if you go to the book of Proverbs, there's knowledge, and then there's understanding, and then there's wisdom. Knowledge is just teaching the facts. Okay? So let's take the story of David and Goliath. Okay? So you're teaching the 2 and 3 year olds or 4 and 5 year olds. What's your main goal? Just get them introduced to the story. Just get them familiar with the facts. Giving them what? Knowledge. And by the way, if you with them don't have the knowledge, you can't gain the understanding. That's where we got to start. But wait a minute. Is that just a story about this little guy that killed a big guy? Or is there something more to it? So understanding then all of a sudden says, okay, that's the story. These are the facts. But what are the Bible principles? What are the spiritual lessons that I can learn from this? Now watch this, folks. Because a lot of Christians get knowledge. They get understanding. And a lot of the understanding you get is helped by coming and listening to the preaching of the Bible. And you have more understanding. But you know what God ultimately wants for us is for us to be wise. Wisdom is the principal thing.
Yes.
It's the not knowledge being the principal thing. Now, do we need knowledge before we can get wisdom? Yes. Do we need understanding? Yes, but God doesn't say understanding is the principal thing. You know what, folks? It's one thing to know it. Come on, you kids. I could start giving you Bible quizzes on different stories in the Bible, and you give me the facts. But wait a minute. What lessons have you learned from those stories? And by the way, wisdom is simply taking those principles and precepts and applying them to your life. Application of the biblical truth so that you know how to live your life. Folks, listen, I got news for you. It's not just David that's going to face giants. We've all had to face them. And the very principles that are taught through that story that allowed him, come on now, I like that. Little probably 16, 17-year-old kid standing 1 foot on his back, holding his head up in his sword. If he can get victory, you can get victory over your giant. Preacher, there's this big giant, and it just keeps knocking me down, and I can't get victory of it. All right, then go read David and Goliath. By the way, don't just, you know the facts, most of you. You know the facts. What are the biblical principles? I mean, listen to how he prayed. Listen to what he was relying on. He didn't try to take on that giant in his own strength. Come on now.
No, you're right.
Apply those biblical principles. What I'm saying here is Elijah spent some time with the Lord. Because of that, he communicated. Listen, your personal relationship with God, it just scares me to death. We're trying to, folks, I don't believe there's an underemphasis of this in this ministry. How many times do you hear your teacher or your preacher say the importance of your personal relationship with God?
Yes.
And you can sit here for 18 years and be able to answer every, you know, you ever remember the cards that we used to have, the little quiz cards? I'm dating myself. Who am I? The who am I cards. And you could go through the whole deck and we could, and you'd know who, okay, great, you know the facts. What have you ever done with any of? I mean, I believe biblical principles ought to be constantly being applied every day of our life to every relationship, to every situation. You ought to know the Bible to the point. Come on, you grew up here. Come on. You ought to know the Bible to the point where you face a situation. You shouldn't be sitting there with a deer, like a deer caught in a headlights, not knowing how to react or what to do or what to say. Good night. What do you think we spend our lives doing around here? And so, you know, you've got this, you've got it. But you know what, folks? If you don't have that personal relationship with the Lord, that's what you're going to need in those moments, the help of the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind and memory the things that you've learned and how to respond and how to apply it. So we're seeing a man here that just, what set him apart made him different, preacher? He just He just communicated with the Lord in a time when I think very few people really personally were communicating with the Lord God of Israel. This man was. Now, it's 8 o'clock. We're going to cut it off. We'll talk more a little bit next week. Like I said, this one lesson I can already see turned into two. This will be our series for the rest of 2024 and 25 and 26 probably. Well, before we get into his calling, let's just take home what we just learned, because, you know, well, I'm not called to be a preacher. Well, up to this point, we haven't even talked about that, have we? But you know what? If God can use Elijah, listen, he can use you.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the men of the Bible and the women of the Bible from whom we can learn so much. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us as we study the Bible to do it with a humility of heart, a spiritual discernment, dear God. Lord, thank you, dear God, for the fact that you want to have a relationship with us. And, Lord, you're willing to have that. And it's made possible because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we can't come boldly into your presence except the fact that we have a high priest that's passed into the heavenly. And, Lord, thank you for all that you did so that you could reopen up communication with the Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us as we read the Bible this week. Help us not just to be reminded of the facts. No, to help us not just get stuck on knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. A lot of folks know all the facts, all the answers, all the things, the nuances when it comes to the biblical stories. And yet you see so little of the Bible applied to their lives. Help us, Lord, to have understanding. And after understanding, help us, Lord, to seek wisdom, the application of the principles of the Bible to everyday life. Lord, thank you again for this time we spent together. We pray these things in Jesus' name.